Please be seated, because this is a long passage. But it's a familiar one. It's from Mark 8, and it's feeding the 5,000. In those days, when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, he called his disciples and said to them, "I have compassion for the crowd, because they have been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come a very great distance." His disciples replied, "How can we feed these people with bread here in the desert?" And he answered them and said, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. Then he ordered the crowd to all sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples to distribute. And they distributed them to all the crowd. They also had a few small fish. And after blessing them, he ordered that these too should be distributed. Then they ate and were filled. And they took up the broken pieces left over and had 7 baskets again. Now there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. He sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting into the boat again, he went across to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, and they only had 1 loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." And they said to one another, "It is because we have no bread." And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you not have any eyes and you fail to see? Do you have ears and you fail to hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, and how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, and how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said to him, 7. And then he said to them, "Do you not understand yet?" Blessed be the word of the Lord.
As we get settled back in, let us take a moment and pray. Lord God, we thank you for the words of Holy Scripture that we have heard this morning. And as we reflect upon them, we ask that your Holy Spirit work within us and amongst us so that we might not only come to understand these words, but live them. Amen. So I did think that I would start the sermon this morning with a joke, if you can put up with it, all right? An elephant was drinking out of the river one day when he spotted a turtle asleep on a log. The elephant walked over to where the turtle was and he kicked it all the way across the river. A passing giraffe who chanced to see all this happen asked the elephant, "Why did you do that?" And the elephant replied, "Because I recognize that same turtle. He bit me on the trunk 38 years ago." And the giraffe said, "Wow, what a memory you've got." "Yes," said the elephant, "I have turtle recall." Okay. I couldn't resist that one. It did make me think, though, about remembering, or in my case, my lack of remembering. For example, the other day, Kathy asked me to stop by the grocery store and pick up something that we needed. So when I headed home for the day, I remembered that Kathy asked me to pick something up. And I remembered that it was at the grocery store. I even remember that we needed it that evening. What I didn't remember was the item I was supposed to pick up. And maybe you have moments like that. Now I call them senior moments. Only I wish I could blame my short-term memory loss on age. Kathy can tell you that I was forgetting things like that 40 years ago. So it's not just age. I have a unique ability to forget something even as I'm thinking about it. So I've managed to come up with a myriad of memory aids, things that will help me to remember something. Of course, the easiest and best is to write something down, as long as I remember to hold on to the piece of paper that I wrote it on. Now I use my cell phone to record what I'm supposed to remember, but before that I wrote on my hand. I did word associations in my head. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Sometimes I even tied a string around my finger. And then I would ask, why do I have a string around my finger? And the whole situation reminds me of a saying that my mom once told me, if you can't remember something, go for a run. It'll jog your memory? Okay. All right, at least I think my mom said that to me. I don't remember. Mom, you're not watching this, are you? In our passage this morning, the disciples need a little bit memory boost as well. One that will not only help them in that moment, but one that will help them in their future ministry as well. The passage that Dorothy read begins with another of Jesus' miracles. Jesus is again teaching in front of a large crowd. Earlier in Mark, back in chapter 6, Jesus had fed 5,000 people that had crowded around to hear him talk. This time, Jesus feeds a slightly smaller crowd, only 4,000 this time. In the feeding of the 4,000, like in the earlier story, the disciples warn Jesus that the crowd is getting hungry and they have no food to feed them. And like that first encounter back in chapter 6, Jesus asks the disciples for what they do have, and from their meager supplies of 7 loaves and a few fish, Jesus manages to feed the whole crowd of 4,000 people with a bunch left over. A reminder that out of little, Jesus can make much. And so it is somewhat surprising that a short time later, the disciples are suddenly worried about not having enough to eat. Mark tells us that after feeding the 4,000 and after having a brief encounter with some Pharisees, Jesus and disciples get into a boat and head to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They have barely cast off when the disciples are suddenly hungry again. Despite all the extra bread that they had collected just a short time before, after Jesus had fed the 5,000, they managed to only bring 1 loaf upon the boat, not nearly enough for the whole group. And I think they figured out that they were going to be starving by the time they got to the other side, like any teenager. Jesus perceives their worry and asks them simply, do you not remember? Such a simple phrase, and yet one packed with meaning. Here, the disciples, fresh from witnessing Jesus producing more than enough food out of almost nothing for the second time, and yet they are worried they won't have enough to eat as they cross the lake. And then Mark tells us, and I'm imagining Jesus doing this with a twinkle in his eye and a smile on his lips, Jesus gently questions the disciples, leading them to what they already knew. Jesus said, do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you collect? 12, the disciples, and I like to think meekly, answered. Jesus continues, and the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect? 7, the disciples again answer. Do you not understand? Jesus asked them gently. Here are the disciples, men who have been traveling with Jesus for quite some time, men who are steeped in his teachings, familiar with his ability to perform miracles, and yet they were unable to remember what Jesus was capable of doing, just like us. Like the disciples, many of us spend our days worrying about things we cannot control. Furthermore, we forget that we belong to Almighty God, creator and sustainer of all things. Too often we look at our circumstances rather than looking at our creator. Many times we fail to pray because our minds are filled with uncertainty, caution, and doubt. And when we do pray, we do so hesitantly, with a tremendous lack of faith. One of the biggest problems for the disciples was that they failed to remember the things they had seen and heard from Jesus. Likewise, a major cause of our lack of faith is what we fail to remember about God, about all that God has done for us in the past. We forget that God has promised to never leave us or forsake us. We forget that Jesus said, "I am with you always." We fail to recall that God promised that the Holy Spirit would empower us. Worst of all, we forget that Jesus loves us and that we are very precious to him. And so when we forget these things, it causes us to lose our faith. And in having a lack of faith, we are unable to serve Christ as we should. And yet, I would guess that most of us, if not all of us, can, when we think about it, remember a time when God has been at work in our own lives. Perhaps a time when you had a difficult decision to make, and you felt the hand of God directing you as to which way you should go. Or perhaps a time when you were worried, terribly worried about something, and yet you turned those worries over to God and in so doing found the strength to move forward. Maybe it was a time when everything came together for you and you experienced a beautiful moment sensing God's presence with you. I think most of us, if not all of us, have had those moments when we feel God close to us. And if you're not sure, or maybe can't remember, do this exercise this afternoon. Take a sheet of paper and draw a timeline of your life on it. Mark on that timeline all the significant events, the births, the marriages, confirmations, graduations, promotions, accomplishments, all of them you can think of. Then go back and mark the more difficult moments in your life, the moments of grieving loss, the moments of injury or illness, moments when things didn't go your way. And when you have done that, go back one more time and mark the times when you had to make life-changing decisions, such as career choices, partner choices, living choices. Fill out that timeline as much as you can, and you might need more paper. Then, when you put all those events on your timeline, go back over all of it and put a cross at every moment where you felt the presence of Christ in your life. I think you will be surprised at the number of times you put a cross down, even if you don't remember those moments at first. But then that is the point of Jesus' message to the disciples, is that we aren't good at remembering. Each new crisis we face, each new difficulty that comes up, we tend to forget that we have been there before and that Christ has been there before. We forget that Jesus has helped us through those difficult times and that Jesus will help us through the difficult times we face now and in the future. whatever they may be. Even in facing death, Jesus has been there before. Today, as is our tradition on the first Sunday of the month, we celebrate communion. And with it, we recite the words of Jesus, "Do this in remembrance of me." This meal is all about remembering, who Jesus was, what Jesus taught, and what Jesus is capable of doing. Today, as you partake of the bread and the cup, the elements of communion, remember the story that you heard this morning about Jesus, how he took of what the little the disciples had to offer and made sure that there was more than enough. Remember and understand that Jesus is still capable of taking what little we have, even that little amount of faith, and making it more than enough. Amen.